Hi, and welcome to Serial Sisters, a podcast where my sister and I tell each other true crime stories. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Devonna.
And this week, Devonna has a story for me.
This is a story that I've had sitting in my ideas folder for a while, but it just always seemed too heavy for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one that I think about a lot, and especially with recent events. So I decided to just trust my gut, but heads up for talk of white supremacy and white nationalism.
Sweet.
So it's going to be a little rough.
Yeah.
I got information from a New York Times article by Matthew Hagg and J.C. Fortin, a CNN article by Madison Parker and Stephanie Becker, as well as Wikipedia.
Okay.
So it's 4:40 p.m. on Friday, May 17th, 2017. Portland, Oregon residents are getting off of work for the weekend and are riding the MAX light rail train systems home from work. The MAX is also affectionately known as the crime train among locals, but for the most part, that's a joke.
Okay.
Especially for people in the surrounding suburbs of Portland, the MAX is a vital service to get around and into the city.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, although not at its rush hour peak, the train car was crowded, with all the seats filled and some passengers standing.
Okay.
Jeremy Joseph Christian was aboard the train and began using anti-Muslim slurs and was screaming that he was a taxpayer, that colored people were ruining the city, and that he had First Amendment rights.
Jesus.
He continued to yell and carry on, so much so that the train operator was heard on the loudspeaker saying, "Whoever is creating disturbance needs to exit the train immediately."
Nice.
So instead of stopping, he directed his attention at a 17-year-old Muslim Somali girl who was wearing a hijab and her non-Muslim friend, a black girl who was 16.
Fuck.
He told the girls to go back to Saudi Arabia, to get out of his country, and said they were nothing and they should kill themselves. So fucking sad, dude.
Dude, I don't like this guy.
No, it just gets worse, too.
Great.
He was also reported as saying that Muslims should die. He also shouted at them to pay taxes, get the fuck out, and go home. We need Americans here.
Okay, except they're children. They don't... Right. Children don't pay taxes.
They're fucking kids. And he, again, tells them to go back to Saudi Arabia, and one of the girls is Somali.
Jesus Christ.
He was also seen drinking from a large container full of purple liquid that he later identified as sangria wine. One of the passengers tried to calm Christian down, but the rants continued. The passenger also told police he heard Christian say something about decapitating heads. Yeah. So the girls, understandably frightened and wanting to escape, moved to the back of the train as three men, Ricky John Best, Talishian Namkai Meshi, and Micah David Cole Fletcher, stepped in to intervene in an attempt to de-escalate the situation.
Good for them.
It's not going to go well, though.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
So according to a witness, Namkai Meshi told Christian in a loud voice, "You need to get off this train. Please, get off this train." The witness said that the men attempted to form a barrier between Christian and the girls. Oh, it just makes me cry every time I think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So Micah David Cole Fletcher, in an attempt to shove Christian away, gave him a slight push or shove. Christian responded, "Touch me again, and I'm going to kill you."
Great.
Video from the train camera and a passenger's phone showed Christian making a sudden move towards one of the victims, Namkai Meshi, who responded by standing up. Christian was standing close to his face and shouted, "Oh, do something, bitch." Video then showed Christian swinging his arm and in one motion, opening a knife and stabbing Fletcher in the neck.
Oh, fuck.
He next stabbed Namkai Meshi twice in the neck. Ricky John Best moved to intervene and was stabbed in the neck as well.
Fuck.
Christian pushed Best into Namkai Meshi, who was trying to stop the bleeding from his wound. He then stabbed both men again.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember when this happened. It's just so fucking awful. At the Hollywood Northeast 42nd Avenue Transit Center, passengers fled the car, Christian among them. He was waving his knife when he got off the train and threatened several people on the platform with the weapon. He then ran into the Hollywood neighborhood, being chased by other passengers who had called 911.
Mm-hmm.
So these people were like, "You're not going to get the fuck away." They kept chasing him.
Good.
And after Fletcher was stabbed, another passenger rushed to him and administered first aid. Three other passengers gave first aid to Best until EMS personnel arrived. Medics were unable to revive Best, and he was declared dead at the scene.
Fuck.
Namkai Meshi was later declared dead at a local hospital. The two girls also fled the train following the incident, leaving their belongings behind, which was how they were later identified.
Yeah.
After the attack, the station and the MAX light rail trains were shut down in both directions for several hours. Following their arrival at the station, police were able to locate Christian. A group of at least 8 officers arrested him on the north side of Providence Medical Center on an access road running along Interstate 84 just east of 47th Avenue at 4:48 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
According to a police affidavit, during the arrest, Christian threw a folding knife with a 3.75-inch blade, which hit a police car and bounced off.
Jesus.
The affidavit also states that the patrol car video footage shows Christian saying after his arrest, "Ugh, I just stabbed a bunch of motherfuckers in the neck. I can die in prison a happy man."
Jesus Christ.
He also said about one of his victims, "That's what liberalism gets you. I hope they die. I'm going to say that on the stand. I'm a patriot, and I hope everyone I stabbed died." What a piece of shit.
I hate this guy a lot.
He's the fucking worst. He was booked into the Multnomah County Jail, and the FBI were called in to assist the Portland police in the investigation. Ren Cannon of the Portland FBI field office said at the time, "It's too early to say whether last night's violence was an act of domestic terrorism or a federal hate crime. To that, I say, why can't it be both?"
Right? That's what I was just thinking.
Right. But a sad side note of this story. On June 2nd, 2017, the police arrested a 51-year-old addict who lived in a small homeless camp near the platform where the train stopped after the attack. He was accused of removing the wedding band and stealing the wallet and backpack of Best.
Mm.
Video surveillance showed the theft and obtained a community tip on the thief's identity. According to police, he was wearing Best's ring when he was arrested and had the backpack and contents of Best's wallet.
Dude.
In the end, he was sentenced to 13 months in jail and 5 years of drug counseling and probation after release.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the larger shit story. Christian was charged with 2 counts of aggravated murder and 1 count of attempted murder, as well as 3 misdemeanors. 2 counts of second-degree intimidation and 1 count of being a felon possessing a restricted weapon.
Mm-hmm.
At his arraignment on May 30th, 2017, he began yelling a variety of slogans as soon as he entered the courtroom, screaming, "Get out if you don't like free speech. You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You hear me? Die." He also yelled, "Leave this country if you hate our freedom. Death to Antifa."
Jesus.
Which, if you need some real fucking chills, there's video footage of this.
No, thank you.
Oh my God, just, he is so chilling. He was indicted on June 6th by the Multnomah County Grand Jury on 15 counts. Of these, 11 related to the May 26 stabbings, and 4 related to conduct the day before the stabbing, when Christian threw a plastic bottle at a black woman at the Interstate Rose Quartermack station.
Great.
Another outburst occurred at a brief 85-second appearance on June 7th. He shouted that he was not guilty and that he acted in self-defense against the violent aggression by Micah Fletcher.
What the fuck ever?
Right. Ugh. And this piece of shit pleaded not guilty on all charges.
Fuck him.
A Portland television station sought the release of warrants and affidavits related to the investigation, but in October of 2017, a federal judge denied the motion due to concerns that the release could prejudice potential jurors.
Yeah.
And in November, a bail hearing was held, and of course, he was denied bail.
Good.
On November 1st, 2019, a new state law caused Christian's aggravated murder charges to be downgraded to first-degree murder, eliminating the possibility of the death penalty.
Fuck.
The trial was initially scheduled to begin in June 2019, but was delayed for 6 months to allow time for further pretrial proceedings. The judge denied Christian's request of a change of venue. Which, good.
Yeah.
Opening arguments for the trial began January of 2020, so just earlier this year.
Oh, okay.
In February of 2019, Christian's attorneys filed a notice indicating that, at trial, the defense plans to raise mental health defenses.
Mm-hmm.
They indicated that I might argue 3 such defenses: a guilty except for insanity defense, asserting that he was so mentally disturbed as to be incapable of forming criminal intent, to which I say, bullshit.
Yeah, I don't buy that one.
A defense that his mental illness made him only partially responsible for the offenses. Again, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And a defense that Christian was acting under extreme emotional disturbance. At trial, the testimony of 40 witnesses was presented against Christian, including Micah Fletcher, who mm-hmm. was wounded in the stabbing. A Portland homicide detective who interviewed Fletcher also testified and showed the jury the folding knife that was used in the attack. Cell phone videos and TriMet surveillance videos were also introduced into evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Extensive video and audio recordings of Christian's post-arrest rantings were also played to the jury.
Yeah.
And he did not testify in his own defense.
Probably smart.
Probably. Closing arguments on the trial were made on February 19th, 2020. On February 21st, the jury delivered its verdict after 11 hours of deliberation over 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
He was found guilty on all counts, with the jury reaching unanimous decision on each count.
Good.
He faces a possible sentence of 30 years to life without the possibility of parole.
Good.
As if this attack is not already terrible and unforgivable, Christian had previously been convicted of kidnapping and the robbery of a convenience store in May 2002 and sentenced to 90 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
During the robbery, he wore a ski mask, wielded a .38 caliber revolver, and handcuffed the store owner to a pole in the store. He was apprehended several blocks away from the store. He was also arrested in 2010 on charges of being a felon in possession of a firearm and theft, but those charges were later dropped.
Okay.
Christian told officials that he was a transient and didn't know the last time he had a permanent address.
Mm-hmm.
But surprise, surprise, he held extremist views in posting neo-Nazi, anti-Semitic, and far-right material on social media, mm-hmm. as far as material indicating an affinity for political violence.
Nice.
He self-described himself as a white nationalist. The Oregonian noted that Christian had made many contradictory Facebook posts, but that such contradictions are typical of extremists, which I kind of found a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
His post revealed a comic book collector with a nebulous political affiliations who, above all else, seemed to hate circumcision and Hillary Clinton.
Okay, because those two are related.
Yeah. At times, he expressed support for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, but also typical of these assholes, he wrote that he did not vote.
Mm-hmm.
Friends and acquaintances felt that his actions were becoming increasingly unstable and he was in need of mental health, although no formal diagnosis had been made.
Mm-hmm.
He also praised Timothy McVeigh in an online posting on April 19th, the anniversary of the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing.
Dude, fuck that man.
Oh, yeah. He also posted conspiracy theory memes from Alex Jones's channel.
Mm-hmm.
He shared a meme which read, "If we're removing statues because of the Civil War, we should be removing mosques because of 9/11.
Jesus.
Because, yeah, you dumb motherfucker.
Uh-huh, totally the same.
He also promoted the notion of a white-only area in the Northwest.
Mm.
Which I think is such a thing that the Northwest doesn't really talk about, is how non-diverse it really is.
Oregon was originally created as a no-black state.
Exactly.
That's why it's so white in Portland, is because originally Oregon was super fucking racist.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a known right-wing extremist and a white supremacist in Portland, having participated in various alt-right rallies in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
1 month before the stabbing, he appeared at a right-wing march for freedom of speech in Portland's Monteville Park. He wore a Revolutionary War-era flag of the United States and carried a baseball bat, but that was confiscated by police.
Nice.
He gave Nazi salutes and used racial slurs at least once. He was videotaped shouting, "Die, Muslims!" The day before the killing, Christian had made racial threats on another train, threatened a conductor, and hurled a bottle at a black woman, as mentioned earlier.
Jesus.
But that woman then maced him, as good. Seen on cell phone videos, so good for you, fucking lady.
That is really good, except I don't know that I would mace someone in the middle of a train car, because that shit spreads.
It does spread,
it's gonna
yes.
get to everyone.
In a strange turn of events, Richard B. Spencer, a white nationalist and well-known self-appointed leader of the fringe alt-right movement, condemned the attack.
Hmm.
So, that was interesting to me.
That is weird.
Christian and Fletcher had both attended a free speech rally in Monteville about a month prior to the attack. Mm. They were obviously on different sides of the protest. And Destiny Magnum, one of the two girls harassed by Christian, expressed her gratitude to the three men who stepped in to help her.
Yeah.
Hundreds gathered near the Hollywood Transit Station on the evening of May 27th for a candlelight vigil to honor the victims.
Mm.
Three crowdfunding campaigns were set up to help the victims' families and raised $1 million by May 29th.
Damn.
Muslims in Portland said they were thankful for the support from the community after the attack.
Mm.
Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler called the victims of the attack heroes in a statement released on May 27th. He also said their actions were brave and selfless and should serve as an example and inspiration to us all. Governor Kate Brown also called on Oregonians to come together. Let's not let hate and fear divide us. Instead, let's take the example of the Good Samaritans who sacrificed their lives for the safety of others and unite for a kinder, gentler Oregon. Senator Jeff Merkley urged President Trump to speak out personally against the rising tide of Islamophobia and other forms of bigotry and racism in our nation that he has provoked through his numerous statements, policies, and appointments.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump delayed commenting on the attack, leading to a public pressure for him to do so. Later, a message was posted on Trump's presidential Twitter account stating, "The violent attacks in Portland on Friday are unacceptable. The victims were standing up to hate and intolerance. Our prayers are with them." Which, to that I say, tots and pears, friends. Tots and pears.
Right?
Like, just, I hate that so much.
I know.
Okay, but to the real heroes of the story. Ricky John Best was 53, of Happy Valley, and he died at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
He was a technician for the City of Portland's Bureau of Development Services, a U.S. veteran, and a father of four children. In 2012, he had retired from the Army after more than 20 years of service.
Damn.
Talisian Namkaimeshi was 23, and he was of Ashland, died at a hospital shortly after the attack. He had recently graduated from Reed College with a degree in economics and worked for the Cadmus Group consulting firm. A passenger who helped him reported his last words, and hold your fucking hand, man. Tell everyone on this train I love them.
Jesus Christ.
Rachel Macy, a witness to the attack, gave her tank top so she could press it against his neck wound, and she placed her hand over his.
Mm-hmm.
She and another man stayed by his side. She's quoted in the Oregonian as saying, "I just kept telling him, you are not alone. We're here. What you did was a total kindness. You're such a beautiful man. I'm sorry the world is so cruel." Micah David Cole Fletcher, who was 21, survived and was treated at Legacy Emmanuel Medical Center for serious but non-life-threatening wounds,
mm-hmm.
specifically a knife injury to the throat.
Yeah.
The attacker severed Micah's left jugular vein while narrowly missing his carotid artery by 1 millimeter.
Jesus Christ, he got so lucky.
So lucky. He was a student at Portland State University, and he won a poetry contest in 2013 while he was a junior in high school with a poem about Islamophobia in the United States. And that is the fucking horrible story of the 2017 Portland Mac stabbing.
That's so fucking awful.
It's so sad. But the bravery of those men to stand up and intervene in that situation when they knew that their safety wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah.
It just always got me. And with everything that's going on now, it's like you really just have to look for the helpers.
Yeah.
You have to look for the good ones. There's a shitload of shitty people out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of really good ones.
What a fucking bummer.
Yeah. Had you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. And in like weird tangents, because of course, you know, everything, this area is not that big.
Mm-hmm.
One of my instructors, when I was at PCC, taught one of the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate's coworker was really good friends with one of the victims as well.
Yeah.
So it's like and, you know, I ride the Macs anytime I go into Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that all the time.
That's just fucking awful.
But yeah, not a fun one.
No.
But one I thought was important.
It is important.
So Ricky John Best, Micah David, Cole Fletcher, and Talisian Namkaimeshi. What fucking guys, man.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. You can email us at serialsisters@outlook.com. Or follow us on Instagram and Twitter @SerialSisters. Bye.